Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. In some Saints news, Bob, Nick Saldivari back at practice today. So that's news. Hopefully he can stay healthy and at least help at that left guard position. You know where the Panthers are going to attack. They're going to go after Trevor Penning.
Yeah, they're going to do stunts. And Saldivari, he'd be one. I still don't know why the NFL doesn't do this. If you make the 53-man roster, everybody should be activated. Why anybody has to be inactive?
Okay, I don't get
that. Just to have everybody available to play, isn't that a better product for the fans? So, who are you activating, who are you not activating? I mean, to me, that's ridiculous. But that's another.
You ain't saving that kind of money.
You're
running this like a mom-and-pop operation.
And if you want the best opportunity, the best play, the best depth for the team, you'd have everybody activated. Now, I even think a 53-man roster should be a 60-man roster. And everybody's
everybody's
activated, so you don't have to worry about who's inactive and all that. And
no emergency third-string quarterback and all
because,
this other foolishness.
You look at whether you have a freak of injuries or string of injuries in a game, that you want to have guys available to play so you don't have to piecemeal a type of lineup. No matter what the position, offensive line, secondary, D-line, whatever it might be, Mike, it should be that, listen, I want the best team, the best product going forward so the fans can get the best opportunity to see their team. And to me, that's fair. It's not like, old school. Mike, remember like Bear Bryant and all that before he had limited scholarships when they'd have 100-plus players on the sidelines? I'm not saying
that. So another team doesn't have him.
Yeah, yeah.
I recruit him to Alabama.
Yeah.
So he doesn't go to Auburn or Florida, Georgia,
Second and third stringers for Alabama that would be starting for other teams. No, that's the way. That's overboard. The other way. But like 60-man active roster, no, I think that would be good in the NFL. More jobs, more opportunity. And then you dressed out, so be ready to play, whether you contributed on special teams. Or you might say, okay, you're in the game, that offensive, defensive line, or wherever it might be, because somebody's hurt. I just think it's a better product versus the limited roster.
I agree with you 100%. Saints had sort of workout day-to-day, three to four wide receivers. Also, two punters brought in. Interesting. Didn't get signed, but two punters were brought in for a workout. So kind of understand where they sort of looking around. And
so they're not necessarily pleased 100% with Hayball.
If you're working out two punters, that doesn't mean that you 100%. Now, for this game, I think it's okay. But what happens afterwards?
The bottom line, Mike, how the NFL, the where it's at right now, I don't care if you're the kicker or the damn punter. I'm not saying you got to be a robot and be perfect. You got to be pretty damn close to that. You can't have a bad week or 2 weeks. I'm like, you're out of a job.
Okay.
You almost have to be robotic that if you're kicking the ball inside the 50-yard line, I'm making the field goal. And we all saw what occurred. Look, you might look to the side when the USC kicker missed that field goal. I'm like, what?
I couldn't believe he missed it.
When it was like an extra point. I go, LSU's going to win. LSU's going to win for sure when that happened. Now, it didn't happen, but I thought, like, what? He missed that field goal?
Okay, what's been the biggest change since you retired from football? Hasn't it been the accuracy skills
Without
and the
doubt.
Distance of a place kicker? And to be able to punt a football, the placement kicks inside the 10-yard. I'm not
Without
talking about
doubt.
The 20. I'm
Without
talking about inside the 10. That has been the biggest change in pro football over the last 20 years, talent-wise.
I've talked with the great Dane Martin Anderson in the Pro Football Hall of Famer as a kicker. How that craft, it's almost like if you're not your weekend golfer, but if you're a pro, if you're a golfer, and how you could chip and control that ball where it's going. How now, let's say just from the punting aspect, directional punting. So it used to be, oh, you want to punt it far and high, make them call a fair catch, the hang time. Now you want your cake and eat it too. Boy, if you could punt it far and high with the hang time, and then you could directional punt. And then all of a sudden, I don't care who that damn returner is. He ain't even going to freaking touch the ball. I'm going to punt that son of a gun so far, and then we're going to angle it out of bounds. Or he's barely going to catch it 1 yard in bounds, and then the coverage is going to collapse to him. So they have no chance. So that's where it's at as far as, like, the punting game, Mike. And then now with the field goals, and I've said this, just watching Smith and Tulane kick the 65-yarder with no effort. Before 2030, there will be a 70-yard field goal in the NFL, and the only guy I've ever witnessed make a 70-yard field goal practicing before the game is Janikowski, the Polish.
Sebastian Janikowski,
from
Florida State guy.
A big old guy. And the Polish strong leg from Poland, Janikowski, made a 70-yarder. Now, he never did it in a real game. But I think somebody will make a 70-yard field goal in a game, Mike. I think it's going to happen before 2030.
I wouldn't argue with you there. Also today, Alvin Kamara met the media, and he took some questions about a possible new contract or a contract extension.
He wants more guaranteed money for the future. Alvin Kamara is fine for this year. But his contract, you'd have to pay him over $27
million
next year.
It's like $25 million.
They're not doing that. But he wants more guarantee for the future, which understandable as a player. So what you got, Mike?
So we're going to go to that clip on Alvin Kamara talking today about a possible new contract.
It's too late for contract talk. Like I told y'all when I got to L.A., like, I mean, if it get done, cool. If it don't, cool. So I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I'm not even talking about it till after the season. Like, I don't want to talk about it.
You don't have to talk about it. Let me tell you. Now, you might say, well, Abear, how is Alvin Kamara going to kick ass? The offensive line for the Saints suck. I mean, how is he going to kick ass? He's not behind Christian McCaffrey in the 49ers offensive line. Because I'm telling you, right now, if you look at the last handful of years, it's been these three guys. You total yards of scrimmage. It's been Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry. Now, Derrick Henry left the Titans, and he's now with the Ravens. Let me tell you. Okay, now be objective, Saints fans, everybody. You cannot tell me. Okay, you flip him. One player. If Alvin Kamara was behind that 49ers offensive line in that team, and you made Christian McCaffrey play for the Saints, you don't think Alvin Kamara could do what Christian McCaffrey did? I think he can, which is like 2,000 yards, total yards from scrimmage. Running and catching the football. I'll tell you, Alvin Kamara, now, listen, don't be bummed out. Be motivated, even though, to help the offensive line. If Alvin Kamara gets off this year, he'll get paid.
By somebody.
Yeah, somebody's going to pay him. I don't know what it might be. Like, you might go from 11, 12 million guaranteed to 18, 20 million. If you still have... Listen, I'm telling you, Alvin Kamara still has a burst. I've said this. He's 29 years of age, but he's a young 29. You got some other son of a guns there, an old 29. There's a difference. You know,
also, it's the style of running.
Like, for instance, Coach
Derrick Mara. Henry's 30 years old, but look the hits Derrick has taken.
Hey, Coach Mara is a young 89. My mom just passed away. She was an old 86. Jim Moore is a young 89. So that's why you cannot put society all in the same boat. Oh, they old son of a gun, whatever. It's like, no. Where are you at? I'm telling you, Alvin Kamara is a young 29-year-old running back. Now, what he needs to do is kick ass with the Saints, and he will be rewarded.
Okay.
He will. So that's what we need him to do this year.
What's made Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy lose sleep over the last couple of days? Trent Williams.
No, Trent Williams at tackle.
If I was playing quarterback and he's my left tackle, or I'm playing running back and I know where to run with the ball, Trent Williams, that trade will go down as one of the greatest trades in NFL history for the 49ers. What they gave up to get him.
If Trent Williams, now think about this, you don't think one player makes a difference because it's a team sport. If Trent Williams is on the Saints. Trent Williams is now our left tackle. So Fuaga could play the same position he played at Oregon State at right tackle. The Saints are winning the NFC South. That one player, I don't care if it's Derek Carr, whoever's that quarterback. You put Trent Williams on the Saints, and what we want to do with Kubiak, Clint Kubiak in the offense, you put that individual and how dominant he is, the Saints are winning the NFC South.
Okay.
Like, hey, Barry, you just smoking the wrong stuff, whatever. Are you not?
Maybe you didn't get a good bat.
I think Trent Williams is that good.
Okay, think about it. Does Trent Williams do what Chris Jones does? Man, the first game I'm going to watch and see how good this is.
Chris Jones, if y'all remember last year, we with the Chiefs. He held out.
That one game.
And the Chiefs played the Lions to kick off the season last year. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and the Lions beat them. What do you think the Chiefs did? They went hard. We need you back on the team. Look at the impact that Chris Jones made to in the Super Bowl, how he influenced Brock Purdy in the pass rush.
And that one play.
It was like a couple of plays.
He was so wide open, but because somebody forgot to block Chris Jones.
Right.
He came barreling in, and Purdy had to just throw it.
I'm telling you, Trent Williams has that kind of impact. Modern-day football right now. That Chris Jones did with the Chiefs defense, Trent Williams on the offensive line.
Very similar situation.
Yeah, that kind of impact.
Well, y'all don't want to give me more money? Okay, if that's the case, I won't play. And let's see how well you do offensively.
I'm a capitalist. If you're the best of the best, now you might say, well, Aber, he should honor his contract. That I agree upon. He should honor his contract. But it's all about leverage. Believe you me, Lynch. The GM and
Shanahan as coach,
they thinking like, oh, well, we want to do offensively. If we try to go back to the Super Bowl or represent the NFC, I think that cat makes a major difference if we do or not.
You think about it, his age, and he's beyond 35 years old, he is still the best left tackle in pro football.
Well,
and that comes from any coach or player that is going up against him.
Well,
they'll say right off the bat, Trent Williams is the best.
Well, wherever he blocks, they blocked. I mean, you know, it's not like.
And he's a mean cat, too. He's a nice guy away from the field. But, man, on the field, he's a dirty player.
And then as Saints fans, we got to hope Trevor Penning would be like, would hold just a strap on his jock. Not even the whole damn jock. Just hold a strap. I mean, come on. So that's why the only thing, I'm telling you what, if I'm not optimistic about the Saints doing anything right now, it'd be with the offensive line. You might think, Bobby, what about the quarterback, Derek Carr? I don't know if offensive line, I'm telling you, was better. A Drew Brees type offensive line, I'm telling you, Derek Carr would be better than you think. I look where our defense is at. I look at our special teams. Who we have, we need more explosive receivers. I'd acknowledge that. Now, if we could stay healthy, Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill, you look at that combination. But I think still that our offensive line, but you know what? If offensive line don't get it done, Derek Carr is going to get the blame in Dennis Allen. Well, Dennis Allen runs the defense. So what? You're the head coach. That just comes with the territory.
So that goes in your pocket.
Yeah, and then the same thing with Derek Carr, all the offensive line. I got not 1,001, 1,002 to throw it. No, I got 1,001. Oh, I hear throw it. Oh, well, why don't you run around and make a miss like Lamar Jackson or something? Come on. No, I'm telling you, I'm still concerned with our offensive line.
Think about Cincinnati. And listen, I really like T. Higgins. I think he's a really good player. But with not having Jamar Chase out on that field, okay, T. Higgins never saw double coverage with the Bengals because everything's rotated toward Jamar. Now, all of a sudden, you become the guy.
So and the head coach just said, I don't know, Jamar Chase, the game's coming up. He's in street clothes today. And then now, no, it's more the hard practice in the NFL because Tuesday's the day off, like Wednesday and Thursday. Now, if he's still in street clothes on Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know what that line is with the Bengals. But Jamar Chase, will he be
available?
He's
a difference maker.
No, he's not playing. I mean, with that. So that would be interesting. But you know what? That doesn't surprise me at all. Come on. The Brown family, the Bengals are the cheapest team in the NFL history. The Bengals have been cheap for over 50 years. Look at the Bengals organization. They don't pay nobody. You know why they paid Joe Burrow? Because he was the quarterback. But everybody else, they really don't pay him. Market value, what's that? They old school like Art Modell, Hugh Coverhouse, Jim Finks. They ain't paying nobody. Man, we're going to get somebody else. No, that
and Mike is much better with money to spend than his dad, Paul.
His dad. Oh, yeah, Paul. Paul Brown, Mike, he's better, but the Bengals are still cheap. No, Joe Burrow, the reason why Joe Burrow is the quarterback for the Bengals, and it makes sense. He's the local hero. He's from Ohio. He went to high school in Hawaii, grew up in Ohio, so it makes sense he's the Bengals guy. So why wouldn't you pay that? You got to pay him.
Okay, so you know T is going to be on the open market next year.
Yes, exactly. They franchise tag him.
So you got to be able to pay Jamar.
Joe Burrow be pissed off.
Would he be? We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. If you're in the area, stop on by and visit us. Got a full crowd here tonight, so we appreciate everybody showing up, and we got a couple of nice winners that were sitting right in front of us, and within 15-20 minutes they both hit a $1,500-$2,400, so congratulations to them. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from the Carolina Panthers, the radio color analyst Jim Zoki. Jim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely, Bobby. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing great. Jim, in a lot of ways, when I saw what they were trying to do in bringing in Damian Lewis, who's a guy who was from Louisiana, spent some time in the Mississippi area too, but finished off at LSU. And then Robert Hunt, another Louisiana guy, went to UL and got picked in the second round by the Miami Dolphins. And both signed pretty lucrative contracts. It reminded me so much of what Sean Payton had tried to do here with the Saints. You have a smaller quarterback in Drew Brees that he's not 6 foot tall. And so you got those interior guys that can help him block and give him a little bit more time to throw the football and be a little bit more of a tippy-toe thrower to see the football feel better. Is that sort of what Dave Canales is trying to do with the Panthers today?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we, of course, broadcast our games with Jake DeLome. You know all about what you guys are talking about with the New Orleans Saints. When you've got a smaller stature quarterback, you've got to give them vision up the middle. And also when you're 2-15, that's you probably got to overpay to get free agents to be interested in coming to play for you. So I think in Hunt and Lewis, especially Hunt, they paid probably more than the market value. But sliding Austin Corbett, the veteran guard, over to center, those three give you a stout three interior on the inside of the where they were getting just bull rush last year. So it gives Bryce a chance. And then that makes the outside tackles better too. So, again, I think Bryce has potential. He's got talent. But if he can't see and he gets sacked 62 times like last year, none of that's going to work. So you're exactly right.
Bobby? Now, Jim, when you look at, like, you know, quarterback's best friend, if you can run the ball, obviously you got to block up front. But, boy, to me, he's a lunch pail type of runner, that being Chuba Hubbard. And I'm looking at it anytime, you know, I guess you're playing 17 games, so she'd have should have total yards of scrimmage, you know, 1,200 plus and all that. But Chuba Hubbard, I mean, that's a name unless you follow Carolina. Now going into what, his fourth year from Oklahoma State, he's been steady. A fourth-round draft pick, we wish our pick from TCU. Mike, his name's
Kendra Miller.
Kendra Miller would be like a Chuba Hubbard, which is nowhere near so far because he's never available. But Chuba Hubbard, to me, has been outstanding for them.
He's a perfect kind of, like, in today's NFL, like having a money ball guy, because he was, like you said, a fourth round pick. And he, every year, as you said, going into his fourth year, he was a track speed guy. He's Canadian originally. He's fast. But every year, he's put more weight and muscle on that frame. So now he's able to, you know, shed off some tacklers, get through that first layer, and then that speed kicks in. So you're right. I think as far as, again, he's not going to probably be like a guy that in fantasy drafts is going very high. But as part of a committee here, while we await the health of Jonathan Brooks, who'll be at least four games in before we get our rookie second-round pick, I think Chuba, as part of a running back by committee, that lead guy, is kind of perfect for today's NFL.
What, when Jonathan's going to get healthy, Jim, you got something there. Man, he is a really talented runner, receiver coming out of the backfield. He's got some speed. Hopefully, if he can stay healthy, he's going to help out the Panthers. One of the things change-wise, other than the interior offensive line for the Panthers, have been the addition, certainly, of Deontay Johnson at wide receiver and Xavier Leggett. He worked out before the draft with a friend of mine, and man, he just raved about his personality, how much he soaks everything in so quickly, and his learning ability. He said, Mikey, it's unbelievable. He picks it up, and he's got such a great attitude. A little bit about how Deontay Johnson and Xavier Leggett will help out a team that last year was really limited at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Adam Thielen and nobody else. Adam Thielen last year had 103 catches. The next one was the rookie, you know, Jonathan Mingo, and he had 43 catches. And so, you know, that's a big drop-off. I think with Deontay Johnson, I think we're going to see more of an even split with Thielen and Deontay, two really good route runners. That's, you guys know, watching NFL football. Deontay, just say what you will, he's one of the best route runners in this league, and he's on the last year of a contract, so it might be a one-year rental. But it buys you time for Xavier Leggett to get up to speed as a rookie this year, Jonathan Mingo to get into his second year. And then we drafted the tight end, Jatavion Sanders, out of Texas. We got Brooks and Sanders out of Texas, fourth-round pick. I think they view Sanders as a high upside receiving tight end. But having those veterans like Thielen and Deontay Johnson kind of gives you that bridge of some really talented guys while you get some of these younger guys hopefully up to speed.
Well, you know, Jim, what is your take on this? Because, you know, everyone catches their attention, you know, social media and all that. When you look at ownership, the one that probably gets the most attention is Jerry Jones. But I think David Tepper might be right behind him. So, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, David Tepper, will he kind of move into the background? And he said during what Canales' introductory press conference that, you know, you go in the background and or will he continue to be a distraction? You know, he got out of hand, you know, we all know about when he threw the drink in the owner's box on opposing fans at the Jacksonville game last season, and it was a bad look for the franchise. But David Tepper, I mean, I don't know, he looks a hell out on the team. I can do what I want. has he learned maybe that...
Man, I'm worth $20 billion. What are you going to tell me?
Yeah, but I can own the team, and maybe I got to just take a little step back and not be so much like, I don't know, owner, general manager like a Jerry Jones. Okay, if you think you got the right hire in Canales...
And Dan Morgan as
a general manager, then maybe take a step back.
Yeah, I think he's definitely done that. We've not seen much of him. I think, as he said, he's been true to his word. He's been kind of in the background. And I think they really are giving, you know, Dan Morgan, you know, like a lot of, you know, leeway to actually, you know, make the decisions. And I think Dan did really well this offseason with the draft, with free agency. You can only fix so many things on a 2-15 team in one offseason. But I think as far as gaining on it, making progress, that I like what they did in the draft. I like what they've done in free agency. but it's not going to be a one-year fix. So I think this year, I think it's a lot of tempered as far as, you know, any kind of predictions or where the season may go. Let's get into it, see where it goes. Canales brings a lot of kind of youthful energy with him. And it's the first time we've had the GM and the coach arrive at the same time as far as Dan being elevated to that position as general manager. So I think they're kind of at least structurally doing things the correct way now.
You know what? And when I look at it, okay, you look at Aaron Donald, how dominant he was. You know who's a poor man's Aaron Donald? I mean, listen, and unless you follow Carolina, a lot of people don't know who Derrick Brown is. To me, Derrick Brown, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL, he always demands a double team. So I look at Derrick Brown. Now the team hasn't won anything. You know, everyone's, Aaron Donald. But I look at Derrick Brown. I say, you better pack a lunch. And the reason why I bring him up, and I look in the trenches, it'd be a challenge for the Saints offensive line. You look at Shy Tuttle, who was a part of
the Saints. Yeah,
it was now a big man that takes up a lot of space in the middle. And
A'shaun Robinson.
Yeah,
A'shaun
Robinson
too.
From Alabama, a 9-year veteran. So it seems like Carolina has their D-line right. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, you know, A'shaun used to line up right next to Aaron Donald back with the Rams, so he knows all about that. So, yeah, it is. And then Jadeveon Clowney on the edge and Derrick Brown. I think that's probably the strength of our defense right there is right up front. And I think, you know, Derrick Brown, you're right. I mean, set a record by a defensive lineman with 103 tackles last year. He's really good. And if he was playing in a bigger market, it would be a bigger brand name. But he is just like a lunch pail guy, like you said. And he's going to be a handful for years to come because he's still young.
One of the stories about Derrick Brown, this goes back to his last season at Auburn, LSU, Auburn. It was LSU's national championship year. And he was going up against Damian Lewis. And, man, Joe Burrow's all over Damian because Derrick Brown's in the backfield as much as Clyde Edwards-Helaire early in the game. And he was, man, he's screaming at Damian, nobody block him. And Damian's like, it's like two guys out there. And Joe was like, just block one of them. Just one of them. I understand you got your hands full, but at least you got to get a hand on him to slow him down. And that ended up being a really, really tough game for LSU. He ended up pulling it out. One of the guys there, Kalavon Chaisson. Not if he grew up where Bob and I, he'd be a Chaisson, but he's a Chaisson with him. What type of impact has he had with the Panthers? He's been a disappointment because at times he flashed it big time as a pass rusher for LSU. Very inconsistent player, certainly at Jacksonville. But without Brian Burns, I don't know if you're going to find one guy that can give you that type of production coming off the edge.
Yeah, we don't see that other bookend edge rusher is yet to be determined. We've got, you know, a second-year guy in DJ Johnson out of Oregon. You mentioned Chaisson. He could provide some depth. But they were counting on DJ Wanham. They brought him in from Washington. He had a setback in his recovery from quad surgery. And so they did not expect him to be gone this long, and he's not ready to go right now. So Wanham eventually be that guy. Then we have a younger guy that maybe a lot of your listeners won't know, Amari Barno. Again, just a depth guy, but it's a little bit by committee there. But, yeah, nobody near the abilities of Burns, which is obviously going to fall mostly on Clowney, but they really don't have that second bookend piece right now.
You know, when you look at it, obviously, I look at leadership, captain of the defense. I look at Shaq Thompson. Anytime I see a double-digit career guy, first-round draft pick, 2015, Wake Carolina, University of Washington, an emotional leader, to say the least, hoping to kind of regain what is 2022 form after he lost the whole season last year. So where is Shaq Thompson at? Is he ready to roll again? Because, you know, he has the confidence and the swag. And he's like there. To me, he's the Carolina Panthers' DeMario Davis. I know what double D DeMario Davis means for the Saints. And it seems like Shaq Thompson is that guy for Carolina.
Yeah, and he's like that connector to the past two of the days of like Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly because he was playing with those guys. And yeah, he is ready to go and completely healthy. He's so excited to be back and playing right now that they're thrilled to have him back out there. But he's good. And again, he's got some years on him now, but he is definitely a guy that they're counting on to step right back in as a leader for this team.
Now, the one that doesn't have years, Mike, we were talking about this on the Saturday show. Before the LSU, we're doing the LSU-USC pregame, pre-pregame. But we're familiar with that name, Horn, Joe Horn, J.C. Horn, what has missed 29 or possible 51 games since coming to Carolina. Now, when I've watched J.C. Horn play, and I think we have two outstanding cornerbacks. If not, you look at the committee, when you add Alante Taylor, I think Paulson Adebo, Marshawn Lattimore, J.C. Horn is right up there. But you got to play. You have to be available. Where's J.C. Horn at right now?
Yeah, he's 100%. He knows it. I mean, he knows that he needs to be healthy, and a lot of these things have been non-contact injuries with him. So he's hired like a personal chef. I mean, he's got trainers. He's trying to do everything he can to stay healthy because he knows that about himself. And when he is on the field, I mean, he is one of the best young cornerbacks in this league. He's got that potential to be, you know, with that frame and that length, a shutdown corner, but he's got to play enough to prove it. But he is definitely, as far as when on the field and when he's healthy, he's shown he's one of the best young corners in the league. But it's just that, just staying healthy and being on the field, that he has to accomplish.
The tight end position, and because we kind of all remember when Greg Olsen was there, and he was a big-time player for the Panthers. Ian Thomas is in that role. In this offense, do you see the tight end under Canales' sort of run now becoming a bigger emphasis in the passing game?
Yeah, and of course, you know, he comes from Tampa Bay, so that's kind of your sample size. 1 year as an offensive coordinator there. But, I mean, Sanders is the guy they drafted, Jatavion Sanders out of Texas in the fourth round, that they're counting on him being the long-term fix. So we have a kind of a group of, you mentioned Ian Thomas, and he is a guy that is the blocking guy. Then you got Tommy Tremble, who can do a little bit of both. Jordan Matthews is a 32-year-old, the veteran. You remember him from Philadelphia, the wide receiver, converted tight end. He's a good pass catcher, but not very good at blocking. I think Sanders is the guy they're counting on developing this year and him finally being at that long-term answer at the tight end position.
Now, is this a fair assessment? Because you know how nobody has patience no more. It's a drive-through economy. I want something. I want to eat it now. Oh, you got to take me here or there. And I look at Bryce Young. While you might think for number one pick in the second season to be on the hot seat, but isn't he kind of on the hot seat right now because the expectations? Now, you might have a little more patience. I'm not saying you look at Sam Darnold where he was drafted, and you can go on and on. You always have an opportunity, but as far as to say for sure you're the man and we're going to build around you, I think it's an important season for Bryce Young.
Yeah, I would not call it a hot seat, maybe a warm seat, but I think it's more like last year was such a difficult year, almost like, say, Trevor Lawrence with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. The first year's kind of a wash up. Again, Frank Reich has had success in this league as a coach, but they had a combination of voices, I should say, in the ear of Bryce Young where they were giving him too much, and there were too many coaches, there was too much playbook, and just everything for him being day one starting rookie, it was just overwhelming, even for a guy like Bryce. And he would never say it, but I just showed it. And he wasn't surrounded by enough talent. He didn't have the offensive line to execute a lot with what they were trying to do. So it was complicated, and they weren't blocking for him. I think it's almost like a restart this year with him. Hit that restart button. And I think this is where it kind of begins. And he has said everything's easier here in his second year because he's done at least football for a year, even with a different coaching staff. And by all accounts, you know, he's doing all the right things. He's looked good. They only had the one drive in the preseason, but it was a 12-play, 85-yard touchdown drive. He looked good. I think with Canales being his coach and his play caller, kind of a quarterback whisperer, brought back Baker Mayfield, brought back Geno Smith to higher heights than they've been before. I think he definitely is set up for success. He just has to show it on the field. I actually think he will. I don't know what that top ceiling is, but it's going to be so much better than what we saw last year for sure.
No, and you look at every team, okay, who's the go-to guy? Like you say with the Saints, Chris Olave. I mean, to me, he's the go-to guy with Carolina, that being DJ Moore. He could be the go-to guy with the Chicago Bears. Now, we all familiar with Adam Thielen when he was with the Vikings. Now he's with Carolina, and I thought a very productive season. When you look at it, he had over 1,000 yards, basically a 10-yard average, 103 receptions. So, you have confidence there. But it seemed like if you're truly trying to get to that next level, is that a fair assessment that Deontay Johnson, a six-year guy, he was with the third-round draft pick, I want to say, by the Steelers in 2019. that he could be the number one option for Bryce Young. Is that a fair assessment, or what approach you take there?
I think with him and Adam Thielen, it's kind of like 1A and 1B, and a different week it could be different guys, but they're both veteran guys. They're both really good route runners. And, Deontay's in a contract year. He's on a one-year deal here. So this is for his career. He knows he's got to, really play well. And for Adam Thielen, I think this is kind of like bonus time in his career. He was kind of being cast aside by Minnesota because of his age. And obviously they have some real talent at that position that's younger. And so I think for him, this was really a chance to keep showing that he could still play at a high level, which he did last year with over 1,000 yards, over 100 catches. But Deontay Johnson is going to take a big chunk of those away this year. So I think in a way he's kind of got two really reliable go-to guys he can go to in the passing game.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon on Labor Day. Really appreciate your time and your insights, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us here on Second Guess.
Anytime. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Carolina Panthers color analyst Jim Zocchi from the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. We'll be back with more Second Guess live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, right after this break. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Got a big crowd here tonight, but still you can get in, get you something to eat, play a little, have a little gaming. Bob, it was made official. Steve Geller and I sort of knew about it because we tried to get Randy Mueller on with us a couple times, and Randy was, guys, can't do it. Been hired as a consultant with the Saints. So Randy Mueller back with the Saints, another set of eyes, ears,
without
and evaluation.
A doubt.
And, Randy been in the scouting business for a long time. And when he was with Seattle and then takes over, he's a GM with the Saints. He worked with Nick Saban at Miami. He was a scout again with the Chargers, GM in the USFL. So Randy brings in another set of eyes and ears to give you an evaluation of what's out there talent-wise, not only from the college ranks, but also the NFL.
Well, to me, it's a no-brainer. Who you trust, who you have relationships with. I give Mickey Loomis a lot of credit for this because the bottom line is it's a bottom-line business. You got to win. So if I look at Randy Mueller, now I was in Atlanta at the time when he was first on board here, but Randy Mueller has been brought back to the organization to serve as a full-time advisor, which makes sense. They even look at the connections because it's all networking, and who has the experience? You look at Jeff Ireland, you look at Randy Mueller, and obviously if there's a conflict of interest, you don't want that, but they all can work together, all for one, one for all. But Randy Mueller is back with the New Orleans Saints, and the Saints have hired Mueller as a full-time advisor in the team's front office, which, like I said, makes sense. Randy Mueller served as the Saints general manager from 2000 to 2001 and will serve essentially as another experienced set of eyes, like you said, Mike and ears, for current general manager Mickey Loomis, his longtime colleague. I mean, the one thing I think, Randy Mueller, okay, you got to go because that was Tom Benson. You know what?
Because he went interview of a potential GM job with the Falcons.
Right, but you know what? Tom Benson ain't here no more.
Yep.
And Ms. Gale just wants to win. Ms. Gale's all for everything. What's best for the team? So now I think if Tom was still around, Randy Mueller probably wouldn't be around.
But
it just goes to show you got to move on. What's best for the team going forward? So when I look at like Randy Mueller, Mike, I was all for that. Like you said, eyes and ears for the current general manager, Mickey Loomis, a longtime colleague. Now, he will work primarily, my understanding, in the club's pro and college scouting departments and also assist in strategic planning initiatives. That's kind of a broad horizon, but if you look at Mueller, Randy, Mike, he attended training camp in Irvine, California early this month and also worked for the team in an unofficial capacity as an advisor and consultant during the NFL draft.
Yep.
Now, I was busy with my youngest son's marriage, with Bo, so I was kind of out of the loop then. But that makes sense.
I think
sense.
That's the last time we had him on, maybe.
Yeah, but that makes
like
sense.
February before.
Right, that makes sense that he would be involved with the Saints with that. Now, Mueller joins Dave Ziegler and Jeff Arlen as one of the three formal. Now, Mike, this is where experience comes into play. Think about this. Randy Mueller, Dave Ziegler, Jeff Arlen is one of three former NFL general managers now working in the Saints front office. I mean, the more, to me, now think about that. Now, you got to be humble, and you got to be willing to share ideas and don't think everyone knows everything. But, Mike, well, why isn't that good strategically? Different eyes, different ears. So, to me, that's outstanding when you look at the experience they have of being general managers, now working in the Saints front office. Now, you said Mueller was a general manager with the Dolphins in 2005
to 7. With Nick
Saban. Yeah, 2005 to 7. Ziegler was whom the Saints hired as a senior personal advisor earlier this year. He was with the Raiders in Las Vegas for 22-23. Now, we all know about Jeff Arlen, who's the director of college scouting, assistant general manager for the Saints. He was with the Dolphins. You look at the GM from 2008 to 13. But that's all part of the Saints team. So I don't know how you can go wrong. Like, again, having all those eyes and ears and how you're going to communicate things. And, Mike, I didn't know this. Again, I was in Atlanta. Randy Mueller was named NFL Executive of the Year in 2000 after he was overseeing the Saints. Win the NFC West division title when they went 10-6 and recorded the first playoff win in history. Now, you know, you talk about relationships. Randy Mueller hired Mickey Loomis to manage the Saints salary cap.
That's right.
No, when you think about that, okay, because the salary cap, think about a big part and how much that is. That's why it's all the, you know, coaching tree, you have a managerial tree. Look at Fontenot now with the Falcons. Wouldn't Mickey Loomis think that's like one of his babies or boy? You know, now you want to beat him, you know, and all that when you think when all said and done. But when you look at the connections and then you look at Mueller hired Loomis to manage the Saints salary cap, then Mickey was promoted to general manager a year later after Randy Mueller was abruptly let go by Mr. Tom Benson, by the owner. Now, the new position is a five-year absence from the NFL. We've seen Randy on TV.
Also was part of the Athletic for a while.
Yeah, so he's staying
and
involved.
And giving evaluations.
Giving evaluations, staying involved because he has a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, he last worked as a senior executive. Now, I didn't know this. He last worked as a senior executive football operations with the Chargers.
Yep.
From 2008 to 18. That's basically a decade, Mike, when you look at that. And most recently, just shows you this man loves football. You know why he loves football? He most recently served as a director of player personnel for the XFL's Seattle Sea Dragons. Mike, that means it don't matter. NFL, USFL, XFL, whatever. I love football. I love players. And I want to be able to evaluate that. No, Mike, I think his eyes and ears and being part of Saints organization going forward, that at least Mickey Loomis is not too hard-headed to realize that, no, the better people I have around me will make me look better.
Listen, any top executive will tell you it's the people around you that really make the difference. I got a Randy Mueller story, but I'll save it for after 7 o'clock. We'll be back right after this break here on Second Guess at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, WWL Radio. We're finishing up here in our number three of the Second Guess Show. Mike D'Antilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We got one more hour of Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike D'Antilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside, right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Got a big crowd here tonight, but still you can get in, get you something to eat, play a little, have a little gaming. Bob, it was made official. Steve Geller and I sort of knew about it because we tried to get Randy Mueller on with us a couple times, and Randy was, guys, can't do it. Been hired as a consultant with the Saints. So,
well,
Randy Mueller back with the Saints, another set of eyes, ears,
and
evaluation.
Doubt.
And, you know, Randy been in the scouting business for a long time. And, you know, when he was with Seattle and then takes over, he's the GM with the Saints.
Yeah.
He worked with Nick Saban at Miami. He was a scout again with the Chargers, GM in the USFL. So Randy brings in another set of eyes and ears to give you an evaluation of what's out there talent-wise, not only from the college ranks, but also the NFL.
Well, to me, it's a no-brainer. Who you trust, who you have relationships with. I give Mickey Loomis a lot of credit for this because, no, the bottom line is it's a bottom-line business. You got to win. So if I look at Randy Mueller, now I was in Atlanta at the time and he was first on board here, but Randy Mueller has been brought back to the organization to serve as a full-time advisor, which makes sense. Maybe look at the connections because it's all networking, and who has the experience? You look at Jeff Ireland, you look at Randy Mueller, and obviously if there's a conflict of interest, you don't want that, but they all can work together, all for one, one for all. But Randy Mueller is back with the New Orleans Saints, and the Saints have hired Mueller as a full-time advisor in the team's front office, which, like I said, makes sense. Randy Mueller served as the Saints general manager from 2000 to 2001 and will serve essentially as another experienced set of eyes, like you said, Mike, and ears for current general manager Mickey Loomis, his longtime colleague. I mean, the one thing I think, Randy Mueller, okay, you got to go because that was Mr. Benson, Tom Benson. You know what?
Because he went interview of a potential GM job with the Falcons.
Right. But you know what? Tom Benson ain't here no more.
Yep.
And Ms. Gale just wants to win. Ms. Gale's all for everything. What's best for the team? So now I think if Tom was still around, Randy Mueller probably wouldn't be around.
No, I don't think
But
so.
No. But it just goes to show you got to move on. What's best for the team going forward? So when I look at like Randy Mueller, Mike, I was all for that. Like you said, eyes and ears for the current general manager, Mickey Loomis, a longtime colleague. Now, he will work primarily, my understanding, in the club's pro and college scouting departments and also assist in strategic planning initiatives. That's kind of a broad horizon. But if you look at Mueller, Randy, Mike, he attended training camp in Irvine, California, early this month, and also worked for the team in an unofficial capacity as an advisor and consultant during the NFL draft.
Yep.
Now, I was busy with my youngest son's marriage, you know, with Bo, so I was kind of out of the loop then. But that makes sense.
I think
sense.
That's the last time we had him on, maybe.
Yeah, but that makes
like
sense.
Like February before.
Right, that makes sense that he would be involved with the Saints with that. Now, Mueller joins Dave Ziegler and Jeff Ireland as one of the three formal. Now, Mike, this is where experience comes into play. Think about this. Randy Mueller, Dave Ziegler, Jeff Ireland is one of three former NFL general managers now working in the Saints front office. I mean, the more to me. Now, think about that. Now, you got to be humble. And you got to be willing to share ideas and don't think everyone knows everything. But, Mike, why isn't that good strategically? Different eyes, different ears. So, to me, that's outstanding. When you look at the experience they have being general managers, now working in the Saints front office. Now, you said Mueller was a general manager with the Dolphins in 2005
to 7. With Nick
Saban. Yeah, 2005 to 7. Ziegler was... whom the Saints hired as a senior personal advisor earlier this year. He was with the Raiders in Las Vegas for 22-23. Now we all know about Jeff Ireland, who's the director of college scouting, assistant general manager for the Saints. He was with the Dolphins. You look at the GM from 2008 to 13. But that's all part of the Saints team. So I don't know how you can go wrong. Like, again, having all those eyes and ears and how you're going to communicate things. And, Mike, I didn't know this. Again, I was in Atlanta. Randy Mueller was named NFL Executive of the Year In 2000, after he was overseeing the Saints win the NFC West division title, when they went 10-6 and recorded the first playoff win in history. Now, you know, you talk about relationships. Randy Mueller hired Mickey Loomis to manage the Saints salary cap.
That's right.
No, when you think about that, okay, because the salary cap, think about a big part and how much that is. That's why it's all the, you know, coaching tree, you have a managerial tree. Look at Fontenot now with the Falcons. Wouldn't Mickey Loomis think that's like one of his babies or boy? You know, now you want to beat him, you know, and all that when you think when all said and done. But when you look at the connections and then you look at Mueller hired Loomis to manage the Saints salary cap, then Mickey was promoted to general manager a year later after Randy Mueller was abruptly let go by Mr. Tom Benson. By the owner. Now, the new position ends a 5-year absence from the NFL. We've seen Randy on TV.
Also was part of the Athletic for a while.
So he stayed
and
involved.
Given evaluations,
staying involved because he has a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, he last worked as a senior executive. Now, I didn't know this. He last worked as a senior executive football operations with the Chargers.
Yep.
From 2008 to 18. That's basically a decade, Mike, when you look at that. And most recently, just shows you this man loves football. You know why he loves football? He most recently served as a director of player personnel for the XFL's Seattle Sea Dragons. Mike, that means it don't matter. NFL, USFL, XFL, whatever. I love football. I love players. And I want to be able to evaluate that. No, Mike, I think his eyes and ears and being part of Saints organization going forward, that at least Mickey Loomis is not too hard-headed to realize that, no, the better people I have around me will make me look better.
Listen, any top executive will tell you it's the people around you that really make the difference. I got a Randy Mueller story, but I'll save it for after 7 o'clock. We'll be back right after this break here on Second Guess at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, WWL Radio. We're finishing up here in our number 3 of the Second Guess Show. Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We got one more hour of Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.